Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your Spirit that's present here today. Lord, I pray now that we would be so attentive to what You have to say to us, that You would help us focus our minds and our hearts on hearing from You today, that we wouldn't be distracted by what's going on around us, what's going on at home or at work. But Lord, we'd be so focused on hearing from You today. May Your Holy Spirit truly have free reign in each and every heart in this room. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's been a busy week for me. Probably been a busy week for most of y'all. I'm glad to see you here. I ended last week telling you all to read something, and we're going to get to that in a little while, but the title of the message today is Don't Allow Life to Get in the Way. I was really having a hard time coming up with a title for this sermon today because all the different areas that we're going to be covering, but where I want to start is fearing God. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, what do we really fear today? What do y'all fear? Is there anything you fear? You know, when I was a little kid and I used to get in trouble at school, and I did get in trouble at school sometimes, I didn't want to go to the principal's office. I had to some. Didn't like getting in trouble by the teacher, but that happened some. But you know what my biggest fear was? Going home to Dad, because I knew the belt was coming. I knew there was going to be consequences for my action. That was my biggest fear, is going home and having to face Mom and Dad. And you know, when I look around today and I see the way kids are, I see the way adults are, not just kids, adults, they have no fear of any consequences. Because they don't get in trouble at home. You can't get in trouble at school hardly anymore. You don't get in trouble at work. You can't even hardly go to jail for things anymore because of COVID. And if you are in jail, they're letting you out no matter what you've done. There's no fear of consequences anymore. And I think for many people just living their lives, they really have no fear of God anymore. Fear of what's to come. Fear of that someday they're going to be standing before God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise." So we have a good understanding when we follow the commandments of this Bible. We have a good understanding of what the life that we're supposed to live, and we should have a healthy fear of, if we're not living that way, there's going to be consequences to our actions. There's going to be consequences to the way that we are living. In Acts 5, verse 1, if you want to open up, I'll give you just a moment there. Acts 5, verse 1, because we're going to read about 10 verses here. Very familiar story. "But now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet." I have written out there next to the verse that we just read, selfish, lack of faith, greed, lying. He kept part of the money back for himself because of his lack of faith that God could provide. You know, I believe that that's many people today. They have a lack of faith that God can see them through tough financial times, tough physical times, tough workplace, tough home life. They have a lack of faith, so they really don't fear God. They don't trust that God can handle it, so we take things into our own hands. Verse 3, "Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." I don't know. I guess one time when I was preaching on this, I had written out there a car chase on TV. You can't get away. And I think I remember I used to watch like Cops and stuff. I don't even know if that show's on anymore or not. But there would be a helicopter flying over and you see a person running and they're going and they're trying to get away. But they're not getting away from that helicopter, are they? That helicopter can see everything. And just like with, I can lie to y'all and maybe get away with it. You can lie to me and maybe get away with it. But God sees everything. You're not getting away with anything from Him. He sees everything. Verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him off and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Can I ask you, how different would you be living today if the reality of that still happened? If you told a little white lie, if you cheated a little bit on your taxes, if you did something wrong, if you lied about who you were or what you were or things of God and how spiritual you are, and you just we just saw people dropping dead, how different would you be living your life? You know, I hear sad stories all the time. Crystal gets on to me. She says, "Quit telling me all these sad stories, you know." I read a sad story this week. Did y'all see where that 14-year-old girl was sledding in the park in Ohio? And she hit something. I don't know if it even said. Had a major head injury. Her family rushes her to the hospital. And they're in the emergency room. And the father is so upset, he falls over of a heart attack and dies. And then the daughter dies 3 days later in the hospital. But the mom was saying, you know, she just giving glory to God and trusting God and all this and everything. And you guys say, "Pete, why are you telling me this sad story?" Because people die every day. I got to one of my businesses this week and they had a black ribbon hanging and I said, who died? One of the supervisors said his wife died a year ago of cancer and he was finding out Monday, first grandbaby's going to be born. They was finding out Monday what it was going to be and his son had taken his dad out to eat Friday night. He went home, laid in bed and never woke up again. Y'all, people's dying every day. This right here, we have not seen that type of power in the church. But the reality is, we don't know when our time is up. We don't know. Do we fear God enough to live a life worthy of what He's called us to live? Do we fear God enough? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When those verses are in there, it's talking about clothing, it's talking about food, and it's talking about don't fear. But I wonder how many of us that we're fearful that our kids aren't going to be successful. We're fearful that we're lacking in something, and so we may not have the nicest things. We may not have exactly what we want, and we're in fear of that. So we quit seeking God first, and we start seeking the things of the world first. Maybe if we weren't in such fear of lacking, we would begin to seek God first and we would begin to see the power of God once again in our lives because we're seeking Him first, because we have great fear of God and we want to be so in His will, so in tune with Him and His Holy Spirit. So right now, what are you in fear of? What are you in fear of right now Is it fear of not being popular? Is it fear of not getting enough likes on whatever it is you post your stuff on? Is it fear of being rejected by those who you're in a friend group with or a family group with? Or is it fear of being made fun of, being mocked? Is it, or you guys, you might say, Pete, you're crazy. No, because the life you live reflects what you're really in fear of. And how many of us are really in fear of God and living that way? And in fear of we're going to have to answer and give an account for our life someday. And we're so mindful of that. So now I want to go to Matthew 24, verse 36. And that's where I had told y'all, if you wanted to read this week. And you might say, Pete, what's this really have to do with what we've been talking about? Well, what I wanted to get at is I want, as we read these next verses, you guys to keep in mind of seeking God first and the fear of God, okay? Have that in the back of your mind. Now, these verses right here, I shared with y'all last week, but I know not everybody was here last week, so I'm going to share it again. This next little section we're going to read last week when we were off for snow. I watched David Wilkerson, and I hadn't watched him in years. He's a older preacher. I think he passed away in 2009, 2011, somewhere in there. But the title of the message that I saw on YouTube, it says, "Good Things That Keep People Out of Heaven." And I was like, wow, that got my attention. So I wanted to listen to the sermon. It was a good sermon. And he was using these verses. And 2 days later, I was reading a devotional, and it was these verses. And then Friday morning, we were going in earlier to work. So I was going in at a different time. So I heard a preacher that I normally don't hear. And you know what he was preaching about? He was preaching about these verses. Three different, completely out of the norm, was hit with me with these verses last week. And I said, God, you're trying to tell me something, or it's something for the church, or it's just something for our time right now. And so I want y'all to think about that, and I want y'all to think about the fear of God and seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness as we read this. Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. I've always thought about those verses, and not only in the rapture, but even that happening today. You know, the man that was the supervisor at the business that I delivered to, you know, he's gone now. Everybody else is still there. You know, that's the way life is. That someday it's going to be your time. It's going to be my time, unless the Lord does call us up before then. It says verse 42, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." You know, as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about, any of y'all got cameras now at your house? It's kind of a neat thing. Like, we just got cameras this year because we were having stuff happen at our house. And I was like, okay, I want to see who's coming to our house and when they're coming and everything. And I really like it because it alerts me and lets me know when someone's coming. Couple weeks ago, actually, we had went home from church. I might have already told y'all this story, and we were eating lunch, and all at once our camera's going off, and there's a man standing at our front door, and I didn't really recognize him, and so I'm taking off to go home and see who it is, and Crystal's watching, and she sees him going around behind our house, so we got an alarm on it, too, that you can sound the alarm, and you can talk to him and everything, you know. And I pull up, and it actually is a guy that I know. He's lost. He's looking for another house, and it wasn't a big deal, but it was so neat that we could see what's going on. Y'all, how many of us, though, we can't see the future, and we really can't see what's going on, and And if we did, we'd probably be living a whole lot differently. If you knew this was your last week, this was your last day, this was your last year, you'd probably be living a whole lot differently, and we'd be more aware and more ready. Verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servant and his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to go back up to the top part of that, and where I really want to focus on is the eating, drinking, and marrying. And that's what it was like in the days of Noah. It says that they were, the people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And when you think about that, you think, what is really sinful about that? Nothing. Not necessarily. We all gotta eat. We all gotta, do the things that life calls us to do each and every day, right? We've gotta work. We've gotta, do different things, and in those things themselves, there's really not sin. But see, what had happened, and I believe what happens in many of our lives, is we get so busy with the things of the world that God begins to take second place, and then third place, then fourth place, then fifth place, and then all at once you're so worried about life and everything going on in the world, even political things. Y'all, we can get so caught up in the things of the politics and so angry and stuff, and then all at once we're not trusting that God can take care of it. That God's bigger than the president, right? God's bigger than the Congress or the Senate. God's bigger than all those things. And you know what? God's bigger than the problem that you may be facing in your home right now. God is bigger than all those things. But what happens is we don't fear God. We fear the crisis, we fear the problem, and we quit seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, so then how can He add anything to us? So then we're lacking, and then all at once we are seeking, drinking and eating and marrying and all these worldly things, and God is not only a distant second, He might be 10th, 12th, 15th on our list. Y'all, and that's where I believe we have to be so careful of what we're doing with our lives. Does that make sense this morning? We have to be so careful of how we're living our lives, because we can get so busy with life that God's pushed back. I'm not pointing fingers at y'all. I'm talking about myself too. I've got this Bible app and this reading program, you know, and y'all, I'll get so busy, I'll miss a day here or there. I had committed to reading all through the book of John, and I got off track. And it's just the busyness of life. And then you lay down, and you can barely hold your eyes open, and you go, oh no, I didn't read my chapter today, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. And y'all, and it's not even about just reading and memorizing the verse. I was telling Tim on the way in this morning, there was a sermon that I was listening to by Michael Youssef. Any of y'all ever listen to Michael Youssef? I don't know him that well, but I hear his sermons every once in a while. I didn't want to get out of the car. Kimberly and Brandon were looking at me, and I'm just sitting there in the car because I didn't want to get out of the car because the sermon was so good. But he was talking about not only memorizing and knowing the Scripture, but applying it to your life. And see, that's the thing is, church, is you guys can come here and you can smile at me, I can smile at you, we can raise a hallelujah. But then if we don't ever apply this word to our lives and it doesn't change us, it doesn't transform us, it's not doing anybody any good to just have more knowledge. It's when we apply it to our life. And here, this is a warning for us, church, that those people were, they were just enjoying life, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They were just enjoying life, not realizing that judgment was about to come upon them. How many of us are living our lives the same way? We're just busy living life, Maybe not even doing anything necessarily so bad, so evil, but God isn't first. God isn't at the forefront of our thoughts. Exodus 20:5-6 says, You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Well, God's a jealous God in the sense of He is our Creator and He wants our attention. He wants our full attention. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't. It talks about the sacrifices that some of them made and that it was a stench in His nose. Why was it a stench? Because it was their leftovers. It wasn't the best. God wants the best from you and from me. John 6:67 says, you don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And I wonder how many of us have that attitude. Jesus is saying, do you want to leave me? And you say, Pete, I don't want to leave him. I'm here, ain't I? But we leave him every day when we go to work. We leave him when we go to the ball games. We leave him when we go to the bank account. We leave him when we're at home watching television. Oh God, you don't want to watch this part. We leave him. We leave him. And how awesome would it be if all of us had the attitude of like Simon Peter said, Lord, where else can we go? Lord, where else can we go? I don't want the world to supply my needs. I don't want my job to be what meets my needs. I don't want, even my spouse to be my main source of what meets my needs. You know what? I can't meet all Crystal's needs. She can't meet all my needs. But if we're seeking God first, then all at once, the marriage is better. If we understand that our job is just where God's placed us to do His work, and if we lose that job, then so be it. God's got another job waiting. If we would begin to understand that, where else can we go? That we're only going to Jesus Christ. That we would fear Him. That we would seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, you shall have no other God before me. Eating, drinking, getting married, kids, sports. For many of us, they have control of our lives. And we say they're not our God, but that's what we bow down, that's what we worship. My nephew last night hit the game-winning shot in the championship game as time expired. And we were at home watching the game on YouTube. And I was so excited. Just yelling, and I was so happy for him, and that's the second one in this tournament that he's hit the game winner, or the other one tied the game to go in that overtime, and they won. But as I was thinking about that, and I thought, how crazy are we? Because the kid scored a basket, we're shouting and excited. It's not just that time. I've been at the ball games, when my kids have done stuff. I remember when Casey was in school before I really even knew Casey and him making a good tackle and stuff, and I was hollering for Casey, and I barely even knew Casey. I just knew who he was, and how we'll yell and we'll cheer and we'll do this stuff for sports. But I told Crystal, I said, it's kind of funny to me, a doctor performs a surgery and saves a man's life, a woman's life, and we're not cheering. We're not excited. Something great happens, outside of the sports limelight and nobody even knows. People come to the altar and they cry out to God and they repent and we're just, welcome brother, welcome sister. And we're so nice and so polite. We get so excited over the dumbest things sometimes. Why? Because they become our God. They become what's so important to us. We get that big bonus. We get that big promotion. We get that raise, whatever it is. And that's become our God. And can I tell you something? If it's anything of the world, it's emptiness. I've shared with y'all before, but it's been a long time ago, but a guy that was I think he was 2 years older than me in school. He's a minister now. He did youth ministry for years, but I don't know if he's still doing youth or if he's a pastor at a church now or what exactly he's doing. I hadn't seen him in a long time, but his testimony was he, when the Arkansas Razorbacks won the national championship in basketball, he was at the game. He was in the band. And he said he remembered them winning and the band's playing. They're so excited. And he said he was so excited for that moment. But he said that when he realized that moment it had come and they won, he said there was just this huge emptiness inside of him. Like, this is it? This is it? And he said God spoke to him at that moment. And he realized that what seemed so important, a national championship, was really emptiness. The only thing that can fulfill us, the only thing that can bring us that true joy, that true peace, is God and seeking God, seeking after Him and not putting other gods before. You shall have no other gods before me. Finish up with the 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world when He brought the floodwaters on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ash and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from the trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Can I tell you something? That I read these verses here and I think about myself and I think, am I really tormented in my soul for the unrighteousness that I see going on? Am I really so righteous and so godly that when I see how corrupt and how vile the world has become that it bothers me? Or have I just gotten so used to it, it's like, oh well, another thing, another thing, another thing. Church, God has called us to be set apart. He's called us to be righteous. He's called us to live a life pleasing to Him. In Revelation, if I can get flipped there, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." Have you fallen? Are you no longer hungry for God? Are you no longer hungry for the things of God, the Word of God, the people of God? Have you fallen? Do you remember when you used to be so excited to hear a praise and worship song that it brought you to tears, that you would meditate so hard on a scripture and that it would just stick with you for days, maybe even weeks sometimes, that you highlighted it in your Bible, that you went back. Do you remember when you used to, it didn't bother you to come up here and pray? And who cares who's watching? Who cares who's looking? And it didn't matter if you were crying or you were dancing with joy. It didn't matter. You didn't care because you were just so loved Jesus. You so had that realization of that relationship with Him. But now we've gotten busy with life and y'all, we're all at different stages. I'm getting at a stage that, you know, my kids don't need me like they used to, you know? But some of y'all still at the stages that your kids are little and they're hanging off of you constantly and you're like, oh. You're at different stages where you're busy with school and you're busy with activities but church, I don't care what stage of life you're at. If Jesus isn't first, your life's not gonna work out too well. either now or in the end. Remember the heights from which you've fallen. If Jesus hasn't been first, y'all, today's the day that you just ask Him to forgive you. You ask Him to restore your heart. You ask Him to restore your soul. And I don't want us to be like they were in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, life's good, and all at once. It's time to answer for the life that we lived. Do you fear God? Is He your everything? Do you seek Him? Does fearing God keep you from watching that program? Does fearing God keep you from going to that bar? Does fearing God keep you from... list it. Because you don't want to be found in the wrong place, like the man beating and whipping his servants and not feeding them. And Jesus says, I'm going to come back when you least expect it. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, I pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would be working in the lives of so many here. Lord, that You'd be showing us that areas in our life where we've placed other gods before You, Lord. Areas of our life that we need to repent of right now at this moment. For we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next breath, Father. And so if there's any in here this morning, Lord, that You've taken second, third, fourth, fifth place in their life and You're no longer number one, may we repent of that, Lord. May You become our first love once again. May we begin to understand that seeking You first and that You'll add all those other things to us as we need them. That we'll not be lacking in any of our needs. Maybe in some of our wants, but not our needs. That You'll take care of our needs, Lord, but may we seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. May we not be caught off guard on that day when we come before You, Lord, but may we live a life worthy of the calling that You placed on our lives. May we be a light in this dark world. Father, have Your way now in my life and in every life in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, come to these altars. Let me pray for you. If you haven't been living just right, you have allowed other things to get in the way, today's the day to repent. Today's the day to ask Jesus to save you.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day.
I was just thinking, are any of y'all procrastinators? You know, you're going to do something and you just don't do it. I am with some things, but other things, it's like I have routines. You know why I have routines? Because if I don't have those routines, I won't do it. Like, I I set out my work clothes the night before, and I do certain things so I don't forget, you know. And there's times sometimes that I'm tired and I don't want to do it. Just whatever routine I'm talking about. There's times that I think, you know, well, I'll do it later. And you know what always happens? Almost every time if I say I'll do it later, it doesn't get done. It just doesn't get done. I put it off. I'll forget or whatever else. I had to run some errands Saturday, and I kept forgetting about certain things. So you know what I did on Friday? I set an alarm at 10 o'clock in the morning. So if I was busy, that alarm would go off and it would remind me, oh yeah, you got to go do that. So I thought, if I don't set that alarm, I'll forget. And the reason why I'm saying all this is, y'all, Satan is working against you. And he's going to get you busy. He's going to get you distracted. He's going to get you procrastinating. Say, I'll start that reading program tomorrow. I'll read that devotional tonight. I'm too busy at lunch. I'll pray for that person later when I'm at home and have time. He's going to do whatever he can to have you put stuff off. Put stuff off. Don't put it off anymore. Don't put it off anymore. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's it. That's what we do. Seek Him first. Everything else, it'll fall into place. Let's quit seeking after the world and what the world has to offer and seek God. Thank you all for being here. Rainy day. It started raining on us, but thank you guys for being here, and you have a blessed afternoon, okay?